What is the most meaningful gift you have ever given or received? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah. Happy to have you with us. A decades-long Thanksgiving tradition continues today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Many years ago, amidst the consumer frenzy of holiday gift shopping, which used to start on Black Friday and now is starting today on Thanksgiving, we had financial counselor Connie Kilmore join us to talk about meaningful gift giving and how not to get caught up in debt buying anything for everyone. And we asked you, what is the best gift you've ever given or received? And your answers were so touching and so thought-provoking, we decided to ask the question on this day every year since then. So what is the most meaningful gift you have ever given or received? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest once again is Connie Kilmark. She is the founder of the counseling firm Kilmark and Associates. Happy Thanksgiving, Connie.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming again.
My turkey and I were having a very intimate relationship, and the time just flew, so we're in the nick of time.
Well, I am grateful that you have taken an hour away, more than an hour away from your Thanksgiving morning preparations every year now for so many years to talk with our listeners about this. You're busy baking. Things are still in the oven and you'll...
Oh, yeah. But you know, Joy, the tradition is now so well established that I get yelled at if I don't do it, and so do you. And so I would not want Wisconsin Public Radio to cause any fewer tears during the onion shopping than we have in the past however many decades.
Well, again, thank you for doing this, and our listeners are already lining up, but I presume there's a new listener or two that hasn't heard this before. Get your hankies out, because some of these stories really are very, very touching. And we usually start off, Connie, by sharing a meaningful gift we received during the year. We can't keep repeating the best gift every year. So did you have a meaningful gift?
Okay. I have two. And the first one is the retrieval of a very precious relationship with a cousin of mine who's, oh, maybe 6 years older than I am. He lives in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, which is the very northernmost piece of Vermont over towards the east of the state. It's called the Northeast Kingdom for reasons that I cannot explain. He is a refugee from New York City many decades ago, and he chops wood and grows his own garden. He was a probation officer for the state in New York City, as well as then a probation officer in the state of Vermont. And we somehow or another had lost regular contact for a while, but this year we've had many really deep phone conversations. And just the other day, he sent me, without telling me, two photographs of when I was 3 years old and he was 6 or 7 or 8 years old, and his older brother, who's quite ill, is 9. And honestly, just to see the unbelievable future, the youth, there's something about a photograph of yourself when you're a little kid that is so, it looked so normal at the time it was taken, and it becomes more and more and more deeper and deeper as the years go on. And those two photographs were just tucked in. One of them has his mom, who's now long gone as a young woman, and the other has my aunt, who's now long gone as also a young woman, and we were all just so young. So that's very precious, and I hope it lasts a long time, and this good conversation.
What a beautiful thing. A meaningful gift can be a photograph from
incredible, and without warning and without a note enclosed, it just showed up one day, a few days ago, and there it was. So it's sitting out where I can see it while I'm making Thanksgiving. But the second gift I want to mention is that I finally listened to the people who say, if you're going to do it now. And the thing that I did now was start taking a college-level ceramics class. I'm studying at Madison College, Madison Area Technical College. I have an incredibly gifted teacher. Her name is Joanne Kirkland. She has not just the technical skills to be a fine ceramics teacher. Something that I've wanted to do for a long time is to deal with clay. Many know that I have background in art history, but honestly, I don't know an art historian who doesn't lust for actual materials and doing things. But she has an additional gift, and that is that she has the ability to show interest in every student's work and to dignify every student's efforts. No matter who the student is, she has the ability to come and be present to that student and to be remarkably constructive, enthusiastic, and interruptible. She has the ability to not ever be impatient when students long for some of her attention. I've watched her over long days of teaching, and I consider that to be the signal accomplishment of any teacher, is to be accessible and to not make a student feel that somehow or another they're bothering her. So, Joanne, I'm going to say a specific thank you if you're listening, and also a thank you to the world of teachers, because you bring gifts, untold gifts, to the world of people who want to learn.
I'm so happy that you shared that, both of those stories, but the teacher story in particular, because I shared earlier this morning when we talked about gratitude that I also have a gift from a teacher that I was going to relay during this hour. This was a teacher I had when I was in high school. She was the forensics coach, and so she was also important to me because of what she taught me about public speaking and that was meaningful to me. However, and this is where this gets a little sad, is that my brother passed away earlier this year. And this particular teacher, Mrs. Heckerell, also had him in class. And I hadn't really thought of Mrs. Heckerell for all these years. And I received a letter earlier this year following the passing of my brother where she relayed a story. Yeah, where she relayed a story of having my brother Larry in her class and how he did something that was important to her. I won't go into all the details. But I thought, what a gift that was for her to take the time to write a reflection about a former student, a student she hadn't had in 40 years or more, you know, and then she thought of me to send me this this sympathy card. And
I don't know if students today, young people, can hear what I'm about to say. Teachers are in it for the non-monetary paycheck. Of course, they need to be paid to pay the mortgage and to pay the grocery bill, but every teacher worth their salt wants engaged students, and it's a gift to the teacher for a student to engage and to ask questions and to show the diligence of their own curiosity and their own learning. And teachers love being quote-unquote bothered by those kinds of questions. Never, you guys that are young who might be listening, don't hesitate. Teachers love an engaged student. That's the non-monetary paycheck. That's the check that matters the most.
And I am going to send her a letter of thanks.
Yes, you are. You are.
So what is the most meaningful gift you ever received or have ever given? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take some calls. Jamie in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Jamie.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
Same
Thanksgiving.
To you.
Thank you. The most interesting, wonderful gift I've ever heard of is my ex-husband's stepmother turned 70 this year, and her daughters, for her 70th birthday, requested from as many people as they could come up with. They tried to find 70 people to do a random act of kindness in her name and write about it and send them the what they had done, a little story about it, and then they collected them all and gave them to her.
I love it.
So that's the gift, was 70 random acts of kindness.
In her honor, yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
And none of them consulted with each other, so it meant that every one of them was doing something that came from their own opportunistic intersection with the world or something that mattered to them.
How was this compiled and presented to her?
I actually wasn't there for the presentation just because of the nature. It was my ex-husband's stepmother.
Okay.
She lives in Chicago, so I didn't get to see her receive it, but I was asked to contribute something, and my contribution was I was at a wedding show earlier this year, and the lady had lost her ring. It was a pearl ring that meant a lot to her, and I've always been blessed with the ability to help people find things or to find lost things, and I was able to find the ring for her. And I took a picture of her with the ring that I found. It was out in the parking lot, and I asked God to help me find it, and I looked down, and there it was.
Oh, my goodness. I love that you took a picture of it, and then that particular photograph of your random act of kindness was a part of this gift that that your family member enjoyed.
Well, and you know, your kindness might have not resulted in the finding of the ring. The fact is that you gave time and attention, and you made her distress something that mattered to you enough that you took time. I think it would have been a random act of kindness even without finding it. It's just the icing on the cake, that the cherry on top.
You. I had almost given up, too, and I thought, oh, I really, really, really want this to be the whole deal. I was going to write to her anyway and say, well, I tried to help this lady find her ring, but then when I found it, I thought, oh, that's great.
extra good. Yeah, extra good.
Jamie, good for you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for contributing to our show on the best gift, the most meaningful gift you have ever given or received. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Connie Kilmark on this Thanksgiving morning. This is the Ideas Network. What is the most meaningful gift you've ever given or received? This Thanksgiving Day tradition continues this hour on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Connie Kilmark. She is the founder of the counseling firm Kilmark and Associates. And our next caller is Linda in Madison. Hello, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The best gift that I received was last winter. I worked for a bus company, and I'm an attendant. And my driver was out for a week with the flu. Mm. So not only was I doing my regular job of keeping the kids safe, but I was navigating for some drivers who were not as familiar with the city of Madison or those particular routes. Mm-hmm. And because my driver knew I was doing this and I didn't complain about it, one of the first few days when she came back, when we had a quiet time together on the bus, she said, I just started, you know, working with some beads while I was feeling better, and I didn't plan on it, but the more I made this bracelet, it looked like something you would like. And it's just a beaded bracelet with some little crayon magnets and a pencil sharpener magnet, because I always have a pencil sharpener in my bag, and a school bus magnet, because we work on a school bus. And it's just something. It didn't start out for me, but it ended up for me. And I love it. It's simple, and it reflects my colorful personality and my practicality.
I think that's wonderful, Linda. So a coworker says thank you for your helping her with a bracelet that reflects your, you know, your personality and your attributes. I love that.
And the best gift that I gave was this week. A coworker mended a glove that was starting to have a hole in it. And I asked her, what do I owe you? Just a hug. So I went out and I got her a small tube of hand lotion that was on sale. And I put it in her knitting bag because when you work with yarn, you have to have smooth hands, and mm-hmm. it's the time you need it anyway.
And did you give her a hug too, Linda?
Oh yes, I told her. Well, all of you asked for was a hug, but this is your tip.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing I like about the gifts that we've heard so far are how unplanned they are. I think sometimes when you get ready and you say, oh, it's December or it's their birthday, those are perpetrated gifts. But these are whimsical and impulsive, and somehow or another, there's a free association that makes them even more serendipitous. Mm-hmm. So, Linda, I like that gift because I don't think it could have been given to anyone else.
Right, yeah. Somebody who knew what it was like to be working with yarn, too.
I've never heard of a bracelet with a bus on it.
Thank you so much. Catherine in Ironwood, Michigan is with us now. Happy Thanksgiving, Catherine. Catherine, are you there? Oh, boy, I guess I'll have to put you on hold, Catherine, because you're not by the phone right now. But come on back to the phone. We'll get to you. Jay in Superior. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving and happy Hanukkah. The best gift that I have ever received, I had emergency surgery in July, I had internal bleeding, and I had six nurses and two doctors around me trying to stabilize my blood pressure. It had dropped to like 50 over 30.
Oh, goodness.
The gift that I received was 2 pints of O negative blood that literally saved my life. All those people helping me. I had internal bleeding. They had to open me up and figure out what was going on. And if it hadn't been for all of those nurses and those two doctors and those two completely anonymous random strangers who stopped into a blood drive,
yes.
I'd be dead.
Yes. Oh, boy.
And you know, so...
Talk about a gift,
Yeah, it's an amazing gift, and I want to make the point that if you can, go donate, because it's an amazing gift, an absolutely amazing gift. It's not sentimental. It doesn't usually come with warm fuzzies, unless you consider a cookie a warm fuzzy. But it saves lives, and it's an amazing gift.
And you never know to whom you're giving it,
which I think
makes the gift even more, in some ways, special. The thing I'd like to add to your story, which is extremely moving, is that you also receive the gift of all of those professionals having chosen to go to school long before you needed them, so that by the time you needed these people, they were trained, they were experienced, and they considered you to be the most important person right then on their watch.
Yep, and they saved my life.
They certainly did.
Yep. Well, thank you for sharing that, Jay. And I think, Jay, you sharing your story and encouraging other people to donate blood, that's a gift too. That's you will save other people's lives by that. And thank you. You know, John in La Crosse emailed with a story about a woman he works with who donated her kidney to a customer where she worked. He had been weak and ailing for a long time, and then started undergoing serious kidney failure. It turned out that his coworker and this man were a match, and they have dinner on their anniversary of the operation every year. Oh my gosh! Talk about, I feel, you know, my gifts pale in comparison, but wow.
Oh my goodness.
Joanne in Milwaukee has another similar story. Wow. Joanne, hi, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you.
there's a woman at our parish whose son was 24 years old and died on Easter of 2011. And she donated all of his organs to for somebody who needed them. And she got a letter from the person who received the boy's kidney. And it goes, I am a 51-year-old Vietnamese immigrant, single father of four beautiful children, ages from 18 to 11, who are very grateful that their dad is still alive. I feel very guilty that I have taken so long to write, and thank you and your family, but it has not been an easy letter to write. I hope this letter will go some way towards alleviating the enormous grief your family must feel, and I think you should know that now one day goes by that I do not think of the generous spirit of you and the man who enables me to walk this life again. Like most transplant patients, the gift of life has been amazing, and words can never express just how grateful I really am. I know one thing is that without the transplant, I would certainly have died, and leaving my four young children without a dad to take care of them. They are very thankful for your son and your family's generosity. With all my heart, I wish you peace, I wish you love, and above all, faith in knowing that your loving son has allowed me to live again. Thank you and your family from the bottom of my heart.
Well, I can't talk, Connie. Can you? Oh, my goodness.
You know, the fact that you've read that for the whole state to hear just expands the gift. That's an untoppable letter. It's a letter that could only have been written by that person. But there are stories like that. And anytime we do this show, please, y'all, if you know a story like that, bring it, because that one is just so deep.
Well, you know, with the death of a young person, you gather around the family, the grief is almost unbearable.
Yes.
And to think that 2 years later, she knows that that gift is so much appreciated, that gift of life is just a fantastic thing. And I thought, well, this, talk about Thanksgiving.
Is
the best.
Having some experience with organ donation, not because I've been a donor or a recipient, I will also say that the people who will talk to you about it say that there is no age too old. So please, y'all, sign the back of your driver's license and make the decision to be an organ donor, because even at an advanced age, if you have good corneas or if there's some part of you that can be used, it's a gift that you no longer need, and you certainly could be offering it to somebody whose life will be saved. So don't just think about it from young people. Think about it for yourself as something that you make the decision of. It's right on the back of the driver's license, and then you confirm the gift online.
I will second that emotion. My brother was the recipient of an organ donation,
yes.
A liver. He would have died without it, and we didn't know who the donor was, though. This was more than 20 years ago, and we did not. So a letter like that could not be written.
No.
But
but you've said it now on the air, and
right.
So in a sense, you've thrown the thanks mm-hmm. out into the world.
Yeah, and I certainly have signed up to be a donor myself to expand that gift. Mandy in DeSoto is with us next. Hello, Mandy.
Good morning. I've been counting my blessings since early morning, and I thought I'd add my two-way gift. 43 years ago, when my husband and I married, I was fortunate enough to be able to adopt his two sons, who were 5 and 7. They accepted my love, which was so gratifying. I learned to be a mother, and they're fine young men with great families now. They're 49 and 51, and they still give me so much every day. I love them so much.
Thank you for sharing that, Mandy.
They got a mom. You got kids.
Yeah.
And now, do you have grandkids now?
Oh, 4, yes. And I'm having so much fun with them. I'm taking them all over the world with me, and we're having a ball.
And are you going to be celebrating at least some of you together, Mandy, today?
Well, no, not today, but for the holiday, the next holiday coming up.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving
to you. Thanks, Mandy.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Connie Kilmark. Connie is the founder of the counseling firm Kilmark and Associates. Connie joins us every Thanksgiving, and sometimes when it's not Thanksgiving, but she joins us every Thanksgiving to talk about meaningful gift giving and the best gift that you've ever given or received. And we welcome your story at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is a Thanksgiving tradition that that started many years ago around this time, because this is when the Black Friday deals start and the consumer frenzy starts of Christmas shopping. And we found out when we talked about the most meaningful gifts that we've ever given or received, that very few of them were gifts that we bought at the store on Black Friday. What do you think, Connie, that that we have Thanksgiving Day shopping now?
Please.
Please. We won't. Let's stay positive. Laura in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Many years ago, my son was small. We both were laid off of work around fall. And we know, we're not going to do a lot of buying of anything. And my husband and I were both laid off. Didn't know what to give everybody for Christmas. I just went out to Brown Deer Park, picked up the little acorns, made little acorn men for trees. Threw some straw and made little straw wreaths. Just to hang on trees, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And went down to basement. My husband has a workshop and made little birdhouses out of scrap lumber that they were building houses around here at the time. I just asked, can I have this? Can I have that?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say yes? And, my fancy siblings didn't appreciate, but all the grandmas did. My mom did. All the great, my son's great grandmas. They all appreciate it. So,
you know, that was years ago when we were still in the midst of a consumer borrowing frenzy, where we thought that that money and buying, even if it were borrowed money, was the most important capacity. I think that if any of those folks still have those wreaths or acorn men, they're not purchasable. They're absolutely one of a kind. And they remember a particular moment where you gave a gift of time and attention and whimsy instead of a generic gift that you bought that could have been bought by anybody and given to anybody. So, I it doesn't surprise me that the grandmas understood, because they had the wisdom of time and age under them. I think that one of the most important things that we do with our time on this planet is to become, if possible, wiser and wiser, more and more capacious to receive unexpected blessings. So I hear the sound in your voice, and I don't wish unemployment on anyone, but in the midst of a time when so many of us are not as fully employed or employed at all, you can give the gift of presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, as opposed to the gift of presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. And that's what you did.
Laura, thank you so much. I appreciate that you called and shared that. I think back at some gifts that I may as a young child not have appreciated, or as a young person that now I would appreciate very much. Lori in St. Francis is with us. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
You too.
And one of the neatest things I ever got, after a long day of Christmas cooking, baking with all of my family, I have 8 children and many grandchildren, I was just so tired. And the kids came by and brought me boots and my heavy coat and gloves and said, go to the front door. And I said, why? You know, I'm just so tired. And then I went to the front door, and they had the Milwaukee County trolley out in front. We all boarded the trolley and went to see all the Christmas lights, and it was just great.
You got kidnapped by a Milwaukee trolley.
And the whole family, what a surprise. Now, so can you rent, I don't even know what this is. The Milwaukee trolley will come to your house and bring you to look at Christmas lights, Lori?
Well, yes, you can rent it. I know a lot of wedding parties do it during the summer. And this was a cold winter night, and then we ended up singing carols on the bus. And I keep telling my family all the time, I want to be 60 again.
Oh, what a wonderful gift and what a wonderful surprise. You're tired, you don't want to go outside, and then voila.
The originality, the originality and the drama of it. And I'm glad you cooperated. You could have just been cranky.
At times I am, believe me.
Thank you, Lori, for sharing that. What a great
that's a great one.
Great surprise. Yeah. Liz in La Crosse. Hi, Liz. Liz, are you there?
Here.
You had us on mute or something.
There
okay,
we
go ahead.
I had you on speakerphone, and I don't know how to get it off. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. The greatest gift I received was the blooming of my Christmas cactus. It did not bloom at Christmas, but I was in the hospital in our local community for 2.5 months, and then I was able to go home for 3 days before I had to transfer to another hospital. And during the 3 days that I went home, my Christmas cactus was loaded. We counted over 100 blossoms, and it was the end of May. And it had not bloomed before. It was 80-some years old. I had inherited it. And it was just a marvelous, marvelous gift. A Christmas cactus blooming the end of May and never had bloomed before.
Well, I just wonder whether it needed some neglect.
And well, maybe.
And you provided that neglect. I think that's amazing.
Wow, that is a wonderful gift. But what did you read into that, Liz?
It was a preliminary step in my next hospitalization where I had surgery that was 50% chance of being successful, and in that success, I had 50% chance of being paraplegic or quadriplegic, and I didn't have either, and it was entirely successful. And so I felt that Christmas cactus was the first step in that process of really being a gift.
What an encouraging sign, and whether the cactus knew what it was doing or not, it sure helped.
It did. Thank you, Liz, very much for sharing your story. What about your story? We are talking about the most meaningful gifts that we've ever given or received. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Connie Kilmark, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Thanksgiving morning. We are having a Thanksgiving special as well, a Thanksgiving tradition. Connie Kilmark, financial counselor, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates, joins us every Thanksgiving to talk about meaningful gift giving. And we welcome your story at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Pat in Duluth is with us next. Hello, Pat.
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
The best gift we received and gave at the same time came in the form of a little rescue dog that when I was doing email, and I'm a very low-tech person, but I was doing email and this little list of dogs and cats came up, and I looked at it and scrolled down, typed in our zip code, saw three different little dogs. Within 4 days, we had You know, we sent our references and paperwork in, and we were over in Ashland at the Shawamigan shelter picking up this little dog. We brought him home. You know, it wasn't total clear sailing. We kind of wondered if we had made a huge mistake because we're, you know, kind of old and settled in our ways. And we went through two training sessions and realized he was better trained than we were at what to do, which was really discouraging and frustrating at times. But I can honestly say it's been a year and a half, and every day I am so grateful. I look into his little eyes and am so thankful that we found each other. And he's out right now with my husband on his first walk of the day, but he's totally changed our house. There is laughter and joy, and I don't have the words to say how grateful I am. And anyone who can open their hearts and homes to a little animal in need, I just want to thank everyone in the world who does help animals, because I can't believe anyone would have given this little guy up.
What's the little guy's name, Pat?
Banjo.
Banjo. Yeah.
You know, I was hoping that you would mention that the gift is to the relationship, because I find that couples who may be settled in their ways are gifted by the absurdity and the magnificence of having another species come and take up residence with them. Dogs are other, and yet they are willing to put up with us and adore us and be happy whenever we come home in a way that just is ridiculous. I mean, no human being could possibly be as glad to see us as our dog is when we arrive back home after grocery shopping or wherever. And that affirmation, somebody once said, I hope to become the person that my dog already thinks I am.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And I love that story, Pat. Thank you very much for sharing it. And it makes me smile. And I think of my Ray, who my husband and I adopted 2 years ago around Christmas time. He was our Christmas gift to each other and to the relationship, I guess. Mary Ellen in Greenville is with us. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Joy. So one Christmas day, I was still single at the time, and I was with my parents, and some of my family was coming out for Christmas dinner, and it was some of my brothers and their families. And I came from a family that was not a really openly affectionate family.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother came in, and he said, Merry Christmas, and he gave me a kiss. And I almost fell over.
Oh.
And then we were eating dinner, and actually dinner was ended, and my niece, who was probably about 4 at the time, came up and said, will you please play my game with me? She brought whatever new game Santa brought her. And I said, you know what? I have to do all the dishes. I said, but when I'm done with the dishes, I'll play with you. And my brother looked at me, and he looked at her, and he whispered in her ear, and she said to me, Aunt Mare, she said, my dad will do the dishes for you so you can play the game with me.
What got into him, Mary Ellen?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, above all other gifts I've ever received, those two, to happen on the same day, were the most memorable thing for me.
Is he still living?
My brothers?
Yes.
Both of them, yes.
Do you suppose he could be listening?
I doubt it.
Oh, darn it.
He's not a public radio listener.
Then get yourself a copy of this show and send it to him.
Or he can find it online if you... Yeah, that's a good idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get a copy of this show and you make sure that he hears this.
Well, I will send it to both of my brothers because I tell you it's been a tough year for us.
Yes.
We lost my dad 2 days after Christmas last year. 3 days before his 90th birthday, we had a party planned for him, and instead we had his funeral.
Yes.
And it has been just a year of great bonding and a lot of good times with my siblings. Despite there's 13 of us, And despite 13 varied opinions about what to do with everything, I tell you, we have, I believe, grown even closer than we were.
Well, that's a
blessing. All the more reason. You make sure that he hears that show.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and your brothers. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Connie Kilmark about the best gift you've ever given or received. Brenda in Lodi is with us now. Hello, Brenda. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the best gift that I received at the time did not seem like a gift. In March of 2012, I was laid off from a job. I'd been living in the Milwaukee area for my whole life. Very unexpectedly was laid off from a bank I was working at due to the economy.
Yes.
And for the next year and a half, I tried and tried to find a job and had absolutely no luck. Financially, it was getting difficult. Then my mom, who was 85, stepped in and said, Brenda, you've always wanted to come and live out in Lodi. You know, when I retired, that was my dream. I love the area. She says, why don't you move in with me now and come out? She says, I'm getting older. I don't get around as good as I used to. She's still in her own house, does her own yard work. So I did. About a month ago, I moved to Lodi.
Huh.
And within that month, I've also been able to find a job. So I'm living where I always dreamed of being and got a job, and I'm with my mother. And if I hadn't gotten laid off from that job in Milwaukee, I don't know when I would have made it out here. It would have been a long time.
And when you were perhaps less physically capable of enjoying it.
Yeah, and Brenda.
So at this point, you're still young enough to enjoy it and to really build a life and build social connections.
Boy, and all those good things happened at once. So what a year to be thankful. Brenda, thank you so much for sharing that. And it was, I think she's saying, somewhat a gift of being laid off, but a gift of her mom saying, please move in with me.
Well, there's the when a window closes, a door opens, or when a door closes, a window opens. There was a window.
Let's see. Heather emails, a few years ago, one of my friends and coworkers had a daughter and had come upon some hard times. I decided to give all of my daughter's clothes each year for her daughter. I have been giving her clothes for about 4 years as my daughter is a couple of years older. Her dad is a cake maker, and it was my parents' 50th anniversary. I ordered a cake from him, a simple one-layer cake for the 19 of us to celebrate. When my husband got home, he told me to come out to the car to see this. It was a beautiful four-layer wedding cake, and all he would accept for payment was a hug. He is one of the kindest people you would meet. I brought him pictures of the kids, grandparents, and the cake. It was truly one of the kindest things anyone has ever done for me. I'm going to cry over that, too.
Wow.
That is wonderful.
Above and beyond.
And that's that when it goes around, comes around kind of a thing. She was doing a great favor for his daughter, so he paid her back with
gifts
that.
And gender gifts. Generosity engenders generosity. There's a peculiar sort of yeastiness to generosity.
Yeah. Carol in Wausau. Hello, Carol.
Hello. What a wonderful show. This is marvelous this morning. I have... Our mother passed away in July, and so this will be the first Thanksgiving without our mother, our holidays were always centered around our mother. So what I'm doing and what I'm encouraging our whole family to do, and our whole family will still get together, there's about 30 of us, is being so grateful for the many years that we had with my mother, and so grateful that she provided that family sense, and we still celebrate that family sense. So rather than being very sad, I'm just very grateful that we had her for as many years as we had her, and she taught us so much.
And by the gathering and by the practicing of those same gifts, you don't know who you're doing it for. The next generation is going to be receiving the same imprint of the heart that you received from mom. So in every sense of the word, a gift needs to be passed along to bear all of its fruit.
That is very true. That is very true. And this is such an encouraging show today. I'm so glad I tuned in.
I'm glad you did, too. Thank you for calling. Todd in Phillips is with us. Hi, Todd. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I wanted to tell you a short story about my service and the gift that I received. My parents belong to an organization called Good News of Wausau. And one of their things that they do each year is they send down teams of people to the Caribbean islands to build houses for people who have nothing. And for years, my parents sponsored my children and my nieces and nephews. And one year, there was a break between the kids, and so I said, I'll go. And so I paid my way down. And it was the most meaningful experience of my life to give something to other people, to help me realize how important service is. So that's my story.
Todd, stay with us for a second because I hear how deep this went for you. You might confirm this for me. I think that the secret in a gift is that it isn't really for the other people. The most important part of a gift is the part that boomerangs back to the giver, especially when it's a gift that can't be reciprocated and is unique. So you show me with your emotion, with the depth of your heart being touched, that you received more in a lasting way, perhaps, than even what the people there received. Can you say something to that?
Yep, I agree. The trip resulted in me reevaluating what was important and made me realize that in my regular day job that I can give and be of service to others.
Mm-hmm.
So in that role, I have dedicated myself to trying to be of greater service.
I really appreciate your call, Todd. Connie, unfortunately, we have less than a minute to go here. Where can we find inspiration for meaningful gifts, do you think?
You know, I think that we have the opportunity to transform any single moment into a transformational moment. That is to say, yesterday in the busyness of Woodman's when I was grocery shopping, it's possible to stop the checkout lady and say, thank you for the patience and the graciousness. This is a very busy day for you. Thank you for being so kind and pleasant. The grocery stockers, there's no end of opportunity for us to be somehow or another unexpected in the way that we treat other people who might be just anonymous other people until we stop for a moment. If you see a homeless person, look them in the eye and treat them like a human being instead of like a person. Even if you can't give them something, just treat that person as a human. Those are the small ways that I think we can find opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Connie Kilmark, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. Thank you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
See you next year.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.